Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
first day. Welcome live to A Book Is Born by Gumbo for the Soul. Gumbo for the Soul International and Tribe Family Channel are proud to present another literary feast. Season 2, Episode 4 of A Book Is Born is happening now. Our nationwide lineup of seasoned authors, along with our generous sponsors, have teamed up to bring rife content and relatable dialogue for your listening and reading pleasure. So grab a good seat and prepare to feast as we dish out this serving of gumbo. You won't leave hungry. Our next guest on A Book Is Born is best-selling author Mr. Alan T. Black. To discuss his literary journey and the 411 on where to grab a copy of his new page turner. Now, if you're online, you can always call in and speak to me or our guest at 347-539-5285. Or you can listen online at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly, Beverly Black, all rights reserved. And you can also reach us at tribefamilychannel.com. Now, I'm about to bring on our guest, but let me just tell you a little bit about Mr. Alan T. Black in his own words. Based upon his website, alantblack.com, about the author, I was raised and grew up in the United Methodist Church. While I do proudly embrace my background and personal history within the United Methodist Church, I do feel that ultimately what is important is not the denomination that you are a part of. What matters most is the relationship that you have with the Lord. Part and parcel to any relationship is the level of commitment that one makes to it. With any and all relationships, they are going to take time to grow. Through the years, if I were to describe my relationship with the Lord using one word, it would be transformation. Continuing to grow daily in my walk with the Lord and as well continue to display the fruits of His Spirit daily is for me what my life is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channels, A Book Is Born. Please help me welcome Mr. Alan T. Black. Hello, Alan. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, Ms. Black. How are you doing this evening?
I am blessed. Now, I thought we agreed to be on first name basis. There you go with that Ms. Black again.
Okay, now we're going to bed. We just want to make sure it's official so everybody knows what's happening.
You know what? You have always been so forthright and so respectful in that regard, and I honor that, and I appreciate you. And I would say my Freudian slip would be my issue, but thank you once again. Always be reminded that we respect each other first and foremost. And I want to thank you. Yes. I want to thank you so much again for taking the time to be on and to sponsor A Book Is Born to ensure that we are able to be on the airwaves. So, again, thank you once again for sponsoring A Book Is Born.
Thank you for the honor. I feel very, very fortunate to be able to do this. And I consider it as much of a blessing as I hope you do. I truly do. And I really mean that from the bottom of my heart, Beverly.
I do. And I feel that energy. And I really do feel that way. And I receive it in the way that it is given. And I don't take it lightly because you don't have to do that. And if and when we give, there are so many areas in our lives and in the world to which we can sow seeds that it is an honor to be a recipient, to be thought of in that manner. It is an act of sowing a seed here, because for me to be on the airwaves, of course, is philanthropy, and then it allows us to really bring forth many people that may not otherwise have their voice shared in this manner. So I'm looking forward to this show. I'm looking forward to future shows that we have planned for you to be a part of. And so without further ado, since this is your second visit on A Book Is Born, I figured we'd switch it up a little bit. Now, for those of you who are just tuning in and are new to A Book Is Born, I'm Beverly Black, and not only am I the host and creator of Tribe Family Channel, Gumbo for the Soul International, but I first began in publishing via Gumbo for the Soul Publications. My journey began in 2003. With our anthology, Gumbo for the Soul, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. We have since added Here's Our Child, Where's the Village, Women of Honor, Men of Honor, and I published my own memoir. We also combined all four of our anthologies into one 10th anniversary edition, and we are available at gumbofortheSoulInternational.com, where you can learn more about me and my publishing journey. Now, Alan, on the last show, I asked you a multitude of questions about what motivated you to become an author, how many books you had published, and your ideas, and some of the areas in which you market, engage your readers, and that sort of thing. So what we're going to do different this time is dig deeper into your books. And listeners, feel free, again, to visit AlanTBlack.com on his books tab. Follow along with us. He has two amazing best-selling books. Your first book, Here I Am, Lord. And we're going to prepare ourselves to receive from you the excerpt in which you have identified to share with our listeners. But here's the description from the website for all of you, and then we'll have Alan come in and tell us the motivation and give us the excerpt selected. Here I Am, Lord is a book comprised of 35 essays written and posted as blog posts over a two-year period. It is a refreshing alternative to conventional daily devotion ensembles and is ideal for the Christian who likes to read without a specific schedule in mind. With captivating titles such as Can You Hear Me Now?, Identity Theft, and The Magnificent Seven, the book promises to offer the reader many enjoyable and interesting moments of reading while drawing closer to the Lord. Alan T. Black, please present us with Here I Am, Lord, and why you wrote it, what motivated you, and your reading selection for us on A Book Is Born.
Thank you, Beverly. The motivation, I think, is something that has been building and has been growing probably since, now I'm going to think back, I'm going to say probably starting back in 1975, so that's going way, 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 way back in the time machine.
Okay.
So it goes back at least 40-plus years. You know, what's amazing is sometimes you reach a point in your life where you, or the Lord will just have you to pause, and he gives you the opportunity to kind of just pause and then just kind of look back. And I think a lot of times it's easy to get caught up in the journey itself in terms of what you see yourself doing and where you see yourself going. But at some point, I think it's important for you to stop and maybe pause just for a few minutes or however long it is you need to kind of look back and you begin to hopefully examine the origins of how your journey actually began. So in my case, it began, in essence, in 75 when I was in college here in Nebraska, because my first love has always been music. Like I shared with you when we talked the very first time, music has always been a passion of mine from the time I was a child. For me, the passion wasn't in as much, say, playing, because I wasn't any good at playing an instrument, and I sure enough could not sing, that wasn't going to happen. But what had always drawn me to music were the stories, the lyrics in the song. That's what really captivated my interest. And I would just sit and listen and listen and listen just to the story, and I always pondered, why were they saying that? What was the reason behind, say, the lyrics in a particular song? What's the real story? And so I always had a dream going through high school. I said, you know, one day I'd like to be a lyricist and do something like that and work with somebody in a studio. And so I just kind of put the dream on the shelf until early 75. I do remember it's around about the fall of 75. And I just got the inspiration again. The Lord just kept it in front of me to at least begin to venture out and to try. And so I began writing my very first set of lyrics for music. But I can't hear music, and I can't provide the music for, say, a song. But what my gift has been that the Lord has blessed me with is to create the story, and then through the process of, say, collaboration, you match up with, say, a keyboardist or a musician, and then collectively you then create a song. So I started that in 75, and Beverly, I'll never forget the very first set of lyrics that I wrote. I shared with a professor of mine who was like my mentor at that time, and I was so scared that he was going to read what I wrote. And I think I was about 20 at that time, so, and I thought, okay, he's going to read this, and he's just going to just shred me and tell me that I'm wasting my time. But to my surprise and to my joy, he said, you know, you've got a lot of potential, Alan. You just have to keep working at it. But I'll never forget what he told me that day, Beverly. This has been 45 years now, I guess. He said, if that's what your dream is, you never stop pursuing your dream, because if you work at it, at some point it will come to fruition. Now, to what extent remains to be seen. But he said, never give up on your dream. And he shared with me some context that he had in music at that time on the East Coast. I reached out to one gentleman, and he shared with me the very same thing in terms of how to go about the process of being a lyricist. And he reminded me of the fact that the lyrics don't make the song. It's a process of you working with somebody to create a team effort that produces a song. So I started in 75. I continued to do it there, and then in the 80s, I got a chance working with a very close friend of mine who had a studio here locally in Omaha. And we began the process of just kind of putting together some song ideas locally and kind of went forward from there. My music background, for the most part, has been in Christian and in gospel music. That's really where my core is in terms of my writing. At least that's where it was in the 80s. I continued up through there. I've been blessed to collaborate on some projects from the 80s going forward up to even today in gospel, hip-hop, R&B. I've done some things like in kind of a pop jazz, some pop rock, and even now I'm working on a project that I collaborate with a company out of Nashville for actually country. Again, because what I do is I create the storyline, and then at this juncture, in terms of my writing lyrically, I always create a story, then I step back, and then I'll say, okay, so this is what the story is. This is what I'm creating. What then is the genre that I need to look at that's going to create the type of matchup that I need to really tell the story? I think one of the things that is so powerful about lyrics in a song is that we can hear a song at 12 or 13 years old, and you can hear the lyrics. It might be something like, say, My Girl by The Temptations. And that was in probably 62, 63, somewhere in there. And almost 50 years later, if the first three or four notes of that song start to play, instantly your memory kicks in, and you can remember pretty much most of those lyrics, if not all of them. And that's the power of the written word musically as it relates to lyrics, where you hear a set of lyrics 50, 60 years later, you can still remember it. And so that's what I've always been drawn to. So that's really where the essence of me being a writer began. And it continues today. My first love will always be lyrically. How do I express what it is that I have in my heart or in my mind? How do I express that and then convey that by virtue of a song project? So that's really what my real passion is. Again, in terms of what I saw being the end-all, be-all for writing was just a step in terms of then progressing to become a Christian author, which I can share with your listeners. I had no real interest in being a Christian author. That was not something I saw myself doing. I think I shared with you the last time that we spoke that I was actually that person, Beverly, who spent the majority of the time as I was speaking and interacting with people here locally and throughout the country, that when they would share what their journey had been, I would always encourage them to consider being a writer, to consider being an author. And in all that time, I never thought it would come back full circle and that I would be the one who would be Arthur. Never entered my mind, barely. Mm-hmm. Not for one second, no.
Well, you know, oftentimes, and I try to make it a habit, but oftentimes we do not apply our own insights to ourselves that we offer to others. And we can give insights so freely and so positively, and a lot of people, you know, they eat the meat and throw away the bones. You know, they gravitate to our positivity and our inspiration. And then we'll kind of just, you know, nonchalantly go on as though that same inspiration and positivity does not apply to ourselves. And so I like to make sure that, you know what, Beverly, while you're encouraging others, while you're being that spirit of Barnabas, make sure that that's your walk. And so I always make sure that I try to always make sure to be consistent in that level of inspiration and self-talk also, because the same encouragement is needed, the same passion is, you know, warranted. And something you said very early on, so much that you said makes me now think that we're related. We've got to be related, because your thoughts are like my thoughts now, and this is like getting scary. But what you said early on about it being important to look back on our journey, I was just commenting on a high school friend. We had algebra together. He made a post about he was living his life and everything, and we had talked about him writing his book before. So when I encouraged him the other day, okay, now that you're, you know, living your best life and everything, maybe you're ready to write your book. He posted, and this is what made, when you were talking, you took me back to his reply, which was just a couple of days ago. He said that he had started writing, but it had become too painful, and so he put it down. He said, it is what it is. So as you were talking about looking back over our journey, we know that we've made it up to this point. Life is not always going to be peaches and cream. It's not a bowl of cherries. There is going to be struggle. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be pain. And I believe that our healing is right on the other side of looking back on it. And when you were speaking in terms of being reflective upon our journey, I started thinking about my friend because I feel like if he were to keep going, his healing from that pain is just on the other side of going through and back over that journey. And you're talking to someone who had an 8-year crack addiction. My memoir is entitled A Wretch Like Me, From Crack Addict to Change Agent by Beverly A. Black. Now, only but God, you see, but God. And to look back on that journey and to call it what it is and to spell it out, what that also does is it is a testament as to how far God has brought me, and he's brought me a mighty long way. And you don't know that if you are not willing to look back on that journey. So I embrace that it is very important to look back on our journey. Some people may look at their journeys with rose-colored lens, and that's fine if that's your journey. If you've never had any adversity or any displeasure about life with which you were made an overcomer or a goer-througher or however you want to term it. But for those of us who have gone through that needle's eye, you come out on the other side and you're stronger, you're wiser, you're better. And I'll tell you what, it's liberating. It's gratifying. That's something that no one could ever hold over my head. I lived it. I went through it, and I overcame it. And I wrote about it, and I'm testifying about it. And it is purely a testament of what God can, how deep God can reach and grab his. See? And so the other part about your previous reflections were the songwriting piece or the lyricist piece. I have been a lyricist all my life. Growing up with a family, I'm the baby, and my closest sibling, my brother, who's no longer here, he and I, we would listen to commercials and jingles, and we would write. And I always had a fascination, for writing lyrics, songs. You know, before the book even came, my first book didn't come until high school. But the lyrics and the jingles were a part of me early childhood. And then fast forward to, you know, later in adult life, where I would begin to really get into writing lyrics. Well, the other day I was speaking to someone and a song came up that I thought I wrote. I told him about it. I'm not going to waste airtime here, but you have just tapped into like some of my most recent occurrences, all the way to I just thought about the show that was on the airwaves years ago, Name That Tune. And one of the songs that I just thought, this was yesterday, that came to mind that you could name, I said, okay, you could name it in one tune, but if you were to do the first three tunes, thum, 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 what is that?
That sounds like Stevie Wonder. Let me see.
Well, see, since I'm not a musician and that wasn't an instrument, it can throw you off, I understand. But it's the song that you just named, My Girl. Yesterday,
oh, yeah.
I was just saying to myself, that is a song that you could name in one tune, but I just said, well, if you were doing like the game show Name That Tune, you'd give it the first three, you know, notes, right? And not
right.
to mention that I'm, you know, enthralled in because of my other shows and some of the musical connections that I have, of which Mr. Otis Williams is one of them. And I have my girl on 45. I was ready to have him autograph last year at his show in Oakland, but I wound up sending my sister and her husband as Otis Williams' special guest for their wedding anniversary, foregoing me being his guest. So we have these connections, these associations, and these commonalities that I just had to comment about before you got to your book. And with that, I will yield the mic back to you for you to tell our audience about Here I Am, Lord.
Well, Beverly, it's amazing how God can connect two individuals, one on the West Coast and the other in smack dab in the middle of the country. And to hear not just the identity that ties us by the last name, we have the same last name, but to know that there is a same path, identical path that we have both traveled at the same. Now, in the natural, that is, by definition, purely and simply impossible. It cannot happen in the natural. I say that to say this a lot of times, things that happen defy belief, but they defy belief because they're not of the natural, they're of the spirit, and it's something that only God himself can ordain and can direct.
Come on.
And he will.
Amen.
And direct some things that you sit back and you try to analyze and you try to make sense of, but we can't. We can't make sense of it because, again, if we're thinking in our natural frame of mind, it's beyond logic. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's almost like we would say in the natural, one and one is two. And God will come along and say, one and one is 13. And we're looking at it and we're thinking that makes no sense. But again, we have to remember, like Scripture says, his thoughts have nothing to do with our thoughts and his ways have nothing to do with our ways.
Come on. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
That said, we might think we're all in a bag of chips, but we're nothing compared to him, nothing but a vapor. So if he is ordained, follow a path that is similar and for us to connect here this year, I'm not going to try to figure out why. I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that you directed me because I'm trying to understand a thought process that I'll never be able to comprehend. I can't even begin to.
Well, we definitely know that it is a spiritual journey, and I'm honored to be on the journey. Like you said, we have the same last names, and here we have these parallels. And so God does orchestrate things in a very omnipotent spiritual way, and the manifestation of it, let he who has an ear hear. See, yeah. And when you can hear and understand and know that this ain't nothing but God, that's all she wrote. So now that's all she wrote. Now here I am, Lord. You know, that's powerful in itself because people think that they can actually hide from God. And, you know, that's another show. But here I am, Lord. Is captivating enough. But you've got 35 essays, and this has been a blog for over 2 years. So that's a lot of blogging and insights. So give us some of these insights that you were able to share over a 2-year period that became this book.
When I started writing for my blog, it's called Christian Blessings, and it's out of Singapore. And Beverly, again, God's hand in directing me to that blog is really beyond my understanding because the material for Here I Am, Lord, I really began to just a little bit here and there kind of put together during 2015. And so I'll never forget that during probably the fall of 2015, I had probably compiled about maybe 9 or 10 of the essays that are currently in Here I Am, Lord. And so I'm semi-retired, and the part-time job that I'm currently working at is basically in the morning from like 6 until about noon or so. It's very slow in the morning, so I basically would just spend time just kind of sitting at the computer, and the Lord would just have me to start writing. And so that's how that began in terms of being an author. But after I had finished up about 9 or 10 of these by the fall of 2015, I'll never forget one young lady who was one of my students. My career was in college education. I worked in secondary education in the College of Education at my university here as an advisor and a recruiter, and also like a retention and mentor to a lot of my students. So she was one of my students that I met during her undergrad years. So she was there working part-time as well, still teaching at that time. And so I shared with her a couple of my essays, and she was really excited. She said, "This is so good. I want to see this in a book." And so I said, "Well, I don't know about the book." And so she said, "Well, how come you can't write a book?" And I said, "Well, I've never done it before." And so I'll never forget, Beverly, she looked at me, she said, "Well, you know, throughout my time in undergrad school, whenever I had doubt, you always told me to never stop pursuing my dream and that I have to believe that I can do it and put forth the effort. Now that I've done that, try to tell me why you can't write a book or you can't try." I'm sitting there for about 10 seconds, and I'm like, now my mentee is speaking to me in this fashion, where you kind of flip the script as such. And so for about 10 seconds, I wasn't particularly happy with her telling me that. Because I'm the mentee. I said, don't get it twisted. I have mentored you through your undergrad years. But after about 10 seconds, Beverly, and your listeners, the Lord explained to me, "Well, you know, if you give, you have to be willing to receive." Okay? So, you've given of yourself to others, and now they're giving back to you. So, what good is it for you to give out words of encouragement and to mentor if you're not willing to receive it in the spirit that it was directed at you? I said, okay. So, I didn't have an answer for it. So I said, after about 10 seconds, I said, "Well, you know, I don't have any reason why I can't, so I'm going to go ahead and I'll give it a shot." So to kind of speed it up a little bit, I, in the month of November of 2015, after she told me, "Well, you could also write for a blog while you're getting your book together," I said, "Okay, I'll give it a shot." So, Beverly, I reached out to several different blogs throughout the internet world, and all of them said no. And so the very last one I reached out to, I'll never forget this, was Christian Blessings in Singapore. And so I reached out to her around Thanksgiving of 2015. And to my other shock, she wrote me back the next day. I submitted just a sample essay. And she wrote me back the next day. She said, "I like this. I like how you have written this, the style and the reflection. So I want you to start writing for me in 2016. And I want you to write for me every week." And I said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Now, this is my first time. I don't know what I'm doing here. So how about once a month?" And so she said, "Okay, we can do this." Now, I'm still pretty much in a state of disbelief because with the power of technology, here I am at my desktop in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, reaching out to somebody on the other side of the world where I've never been or probably never get to. And so she's saying, "I want you to come on and be one of my writers each month." So I said, okay. And then she gave me an assignment, Barry, and I just thought it'll never happen. She told me, she said, "You know, when January 2016 comes around, I want you to write something that begins a new year, and it needs to be at least 300 words. Oh, Beverly, when she told me that, I just about passed out because I thought she'd ask me to write something that's 300 words. And 300 words at that time might as well have been 10,000 because I could not see myself writing anything.
Mm-hmm.
300 words. I said, I can't do it. But again, I kept saying to myself, well, I can't do it, but I kept hearing my mentee saying, why can't you do it? And saying that
wow.
to say that sometimes we get it in our spirit because of our humanness to place limitations on ourselves in terms of what we feel we are not capable of doing. But it's important that we keep in mind that those limitations are self-imposed, and we have to be of the mindset that we don't want to let that stop us. We want to continue to press forward because you want to get to the other side. If there is a road that is filled with roadblocks, you still have to press forward to get through to the other part of the road where it begins to clear up and where you begin to see a clearer path. It's not going to be easy. Sometimes you may not get there. But you want to say, at the very least, in my personal opinion, that, hey, you gave it a shot and you did try. So I spent all of Thanksgiving 2016 just racking my brain, pretty much panic-stricken, because I'm thinking, now, what is it that I'm going to come up with? And I'll never forget, it was around Christmas of 2016, and we're at that time of year, you start hearing the Christmas music, and then you start hearing music for the beginning of the new year. And this particular day, I was driving, and radio station started playing that song, Auld Lang Syne. And part of the lyrics in there, you know what I mean since you're a lyricist. It talks about, should old acquaintances be forgotten? And that just stuck with me. I couldn't shake it. And so a couple of days later after Christmas, I'll never forget, I was at work, and the Lord just gave me what it is I needed to just start writing about old acquaintances. And in the book, I'll just share a few things in terms of what old acquaintances is. In there, if we think about old acquaintances, we think about how to kind of shed ourselves of some of those things that we have been holding on. Just to share one or two paragraphs from old acquaintances in Here I Am, Lord. I said, for some, there's an old acquaintance called fear, which I was possessed by in terms of trying to move forward. And I wrote in the book that fear in and of itself can cause us to be afraid to move forward. That was me, okay? Or at times, it can cause us to come to a complete standstill. But in this, a new year, let us remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And sharing that with our listeners this evening, I've heard that fear has also been broken down as an acronym. False evidence appearing real.
Come on now.
Life and the enemy will put something in front of you like he did me in terms of thinking I could not write for a blog, nor could I write a book. But I had to press forward. And when I was writing this one, and this is the amazing thing as I think back now in terms of this one called Old Acquaintances, this part of it in terms of the old acquaintance called fear that I called myself sharing with my readers applied to me more than anybody. And so that fear was something that I had to get through and had to just say, I'm not going to let you stand in my way. I refuse, and I'm going to keep moving forward. Now, there's also a couple other acquaintances, and we all have those acquaintances that we need to just say, okay, you need to hit the exit door, stage right, and I don't want to see you anymore. Come on, somebody.
You preaching, see, and you're so spot on. But what I took out of that is right back to what we were discussing earlier. You said, you know, it might not be easy, but you're going to come out on the other side. And it is very important to be reflective. But you were confronting fear, and it was as much of a writing assignment as it was a cleansing and a therapeutic exercise for you.
Absolutely. And it was important that this very first one that I submitted for Christian Blessing, and now I'm thinking about it, how divinely directed was it that it's called Old Acquaintances? Because the first old acquaintance that I had to get rid of was fear. That was the first one. And then the second one that I write about in here is called doubt. And I wrote here that for some, that old acquaintance called doubt, when we find our unbelief rising up, let us to remember to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not to lean to our own understanding. That scripture
Proverbs 3:5.
Come on, somebody. Because let's be real about it, Beverly. A lot of us, and I'm guilty of it as much as anybody, to me, one of the key parts of that scripture is not to lean on our own understanding.
Preach.
Our own understanding is limited by virtue of our humanness. And within our humanness, because we are flawed, a lot of times we mistakenly think that our own understanding is the understanding. A lot of times it's not even close. And trust me, as somebody who messed up more times than I care to admit, but I thought my understanding was all that, if I could quote Amazing Grace and part of that hymn, I was blind, but now I can see. And I can see that my own understanding is flawed as somebody trying to put on two left shoes on both of their feet, okay? Just telling you the truth.
And then, telling the truth so profoundly, I might add.
And, you know, it's amazing because sometimes what you have to do, at least in my opinion, and this is something I'm trying to do more and more every day, I'm not going to make it a point to, and I try not to make it a point to look at, well, this is that person's fault, that's their fault, that's their flaw, that's what they're not doing right. Because quiet as is kept, none of us have a right to really do that as such. So the first person we need to put in check is the person that we see in the mirror every day.
Every day.
I try and look at myself in the mirror, I say, okay, I know I've got my flaws more than I care to admit to. But I just ask the Lord to try to work with me and try to make me better every day, a better person, and a better witness day by day. And it's going to be a daily process. So I try to make part of who I am on a daily basis, because who you are is going to be reflected a lot of times, in my opinion, by not just what you do, but as well what you don't do, what you say and what you don't say, because people
preaching
are tuning in and they're watching very, very carefully. And so if they see a level of consistency that continues to stay steady and even grows, then that's what they're ultimately going to be drawn to, not just by what you say on Sunday or your day of worship, but by how you live it each and every day. That's what it's really all about.
Come on.
And that's when I wrote in there about the denomination not being what's really important, my point in there is not to criticize denominations, but it's about recognizing the revelation of what the word is on a daily basis. It kind of goes back to a policy that my father had, my mother had, that, and we being from the Midwest, we're kind of more like middle of the road, kind of, at least I'm laid back, just not a lot of hype. That's just not who I am. And that because for my parents, particularly my father, had a saying. He said, you know what? When you come right down to it, it's not about the sizzle, it's about the steak. That's what it is.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, that is Mr. Alan T. Black, best-selling author of In the Spirit Intended and Here I Am, Lord, on A Book Is Born, live on Tribe Family Channel. Now, we're going to take a quick commercial break because we need to also recognize some of our other sponsors, but AlanTBlack.com is definitely our sponsor of the day, our featured sponsor, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you sign up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
Welcome live back on Tribe Family Channel, A Book Is Born. I am Beverly Black, and I am the creator and host of Tribe Family Channel's A Book Is Born. Our guest today and sponsor is Mr. Alan T. Black. Now, Alan, you have taken me to church, and I do understand and believe and trust in the Lord with all my heart. Proverbs 3:5 tells us not to lean to our own understanding. And I would say that by far, yes, that is out of everything you have shared, that by far sticks out as to be the most profound and most applicable in my own life. Gave a testament about God using you, and what I know to be true for myself, and what I believe is a great strength for us in our carnal limitations, is to be able to daily avail ourselves to God and lean not to our own understanding. That requires a level of discernment, a level of spirituality, a level of spiritual growth, a relationship. It requires growing and drawing closer to the Lord, like you said about your book, Here I Am, Lord. And so this is very spiritual, and it's really, it's recommendable. You know, the points that you've made is highly recommendable for anyone that's listening that may feel that they can't overcome their stories and their journey of past to find their closer relationship with the Lord and purpose for their future, purpose through their pain. Now tell us a little bit about In the Spirit Intended.
In the Spirit Intended has its own story in a different form. When I had finished the first book, Here I Am, Lord, in 2017, I remember doing some book signings and different things for that in summer 2017. And so I remained totally shocked, I guess, to be honest with you, Beverly, as far as just writing one book. Now, in my mind, as 2017 was beginning to wind down, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you had me to write one book, which was great. It was an amazing experience. It was an experience I never thought I would undertake. And so I went into 2018, and as I was going into 2018, in my mind, I actually had a plan to kind of get back and switch back over to the music side and kind of start doing more lyrically with music for some projects that I had been planning on doing. But again, that was my plan, which had nothing to do with what God had in store for me. He had me to continue to write throughout 2017, going into 2018. So when I got to January 2018, I'll never forget, Beverly, I was at a function here in my city, and one of my childhood mentors had purchased the first book, and she said she was really happy. She was so proud of me to see how far God had brought me. And I'll never forget, Beverly, she paused and she looked at me and she gave me that look like, you know, one of your mentors can give you, who used to be your babysitter, if you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so she looked at me, she said, well, that's great. So now I'm ready for your second book. And Beverly, I looked at her like, you got to be kidding me. And she said, no, I'm being serious. I want a second book, so you need to get it in gear and get this done. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking to myself, do you know what it takes just to write one book? Did you talk about And again, I started getting back into that area of fear and doubt, and I thought, man, the first book was just really overwhelming at times, particularly for somebody who had no idea what he was doing. But again, I had to move beyond the fear and the doubt, and I continued to write throughout 2018. And by the end of 2018, I had come up with another set of essays, another 35 for my second book. And let me just kind of pause for just a second, because I don't want the listener to think that, man, he must be a prolific writer and great theologian. Nothing could be further from the truth. Trust me when I tell you. Because I can honestly sit here and say that each essay that I have written was directly because of what the Holy Spirit was leading me to write when I would sit down in front of a desktop at my keyboard and started writing what thus says the Lord. And I know that to be fact because I can really and truly say that I would finish an essay for both books. And then I would go back and I would read what I had just written maybe 20 minutes earlier. And a lot of it, I could not recall what I had written. And I understand
Lord,
that I could not. I can honestly say with old acquaintances from the first book, after I had written it, I would go back 20 minutes later. I couldn't really grasp what I had written just 20 minutes earlier, knowing that was a work of the Spirit because I
Come
was
on.
Really trying to be obedient. That's why it's important. At least we are obedient, then the Lord will direct us in what it is that he wants us to do. So I continue to be obedient for the second book, which I finished up at the end of 2018, and then got with my editor and everybody, got it prepared to be released in early summer 2019. Now, there's a story even behind the title itself, In the Spirit Intended. The meaning of the title of this particular book, the second book, which I'm so blessed to say became a bestseller in July of 2019. The title,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. I give all the honor to God. Believe me, I do.
Amen.
The title has two meanings. The first part of it, for In the Spirit Intended, is coming from me as a vessel, being obedient to what God was calling me to do. And I'm sharing what thus says the Lord in terms of what he had me to write. And I'm doing so prayerfully that as you receive it, you're going to receive what he had me to write in the spirit intended, i.e. in your spirit is where it's intended. The second part of that title has a different meaning. The second part, when I say in the spirit intended, is as I'm writing what thus says the Lord, I'm doing it from the position of being what I call an everyday layperson. Not someone who's an apostle or a bishop or a minister or someone who has a church, not a great theologian, but just basically a regular person who was being obedient to what God was sharing with you. So I don't want people to think I'm all that in a bag of chips, because I'm not. I'm just sharing with you for what God had me to do in the spirit intended from an ordinary person. But that underscores the fact that for all of us, that we have to keep in mind, as we all have learned and we've all experienced through our journey in life, that God will call the ordinary to do some things that are extraordinary when that ordinary person thinks about what he had them to do. I consider what I have done to be extraordinary only because of what he had me to do, knowing that it was accomplished because I chose to be obedient, and the end result has been two books. Had I not been obedient, had I tried to do it on my own understanding, I would have never gotten any of this. None of it. I'd still be back at square one, thinking I'm all that with a blank page and nothing to show for it. So with the spirit intended, I went forth, did the second book in 2019. It's done well. It's been well received. And I think also, too, what's important is when we are writing and when we are sharing, if it's lyrically or if it's in the form of being an author, it's important, I think, in my personal opinion, Beverly, how do we think about success? When I first started writing, I was thinking in terms of success, well, how many copies am I going to sell? How many reviews am I going to get? And that is important. But a friend of mine who is a pastor brought me up to speed, and he taught me what was really, really important. He said, your success isn't just measured by how many books that you sell or how many reviews that you get. He said, that's nice. But he said, the essence of what the Lord is calling you to do is this. Does it bless, does it encourage somebody else? Does it touch their heart, and does it give them time to pause and think and to reflect about possibly what the Lord is saying to them in terms of where they are at a particular time in their life? And so that's kind of how I look at success now and going forward. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't want 12 or 13 million copies to be sold. Of course I do. But I recognize that the success that God has blessed me to reach is really about being in a position where hopefully as people read it, it blesses them and it encourages them and it gives them time to pause and think about hey, what is the Lord calling me to do? Because if he could call this ordinary guy to do this, what does he have in store for me? So that's kind of how I look at the definition of success. That's what it means to me. I've had people say that it has blessed them. They've been encouraged. They've said, well, man, if you started writing now, you've encouraged me to start doing something in the same vein. And when people have shared that with me, I say, well, if that's what is happening, I give all the credit to God because he's using me as a vessel, but I think he also uses each of us at a certain point in time, not just as a vessel, barely, but also as an example, as a living witness to what it is that we can do if we set that walk with him one to one instead of just one to none. So that's what success has meant with both books. So, and here I am, believe it or not, I'm planning on a third book next year, which I pretty much have completed for next year. So I had another couple that say, man, your first two books were so good, but I can't wait for the third book. So why are you sitting there doing nothing? You need to be right. And I'm thinking, you people, this is okay, you know what? You're right. I'm going to see if I can write a third book. And so I just said, I'm going to do more to make it happen. So 2021, I'm planning on having a third book out, which would be kind of like continuation of these first two or maybe the conclusion. I don't know what it's going to be, and I'm not going to worry about it because the Lord will lead me as he wants me to, and it'll be up to him. I'm just going to try to be obedient and not be hard-headed like I have been to my life to begin with.
Well, you know what? That brings us to the finality of this show, but I'll tell you what, I am all the more encouraged myself because just listening to you right now today, and having not even read your books, I can't even begin to tell you how exciting I am to read your books. And ladies and gentlemen, be sure to go to AlanTBlack.com. His first book, Here I Am, Lord. His second book, a bestseller, an Amazon bestseller, In the Spirit Intended. And you have allowed God to use you. Your friend told you, right, that the fact that you have put out something that, just to paraphrase, this encourages and builds people. See, when you're availing yourself to God and you're doing something that actually builds people and allows God to, like you were saying, you were writing, and when you finished writing, you couldn't even recall because God was writing through you, and you were availing yourself to let God use you. And when you let God use you, and when that manifestation comes into, when the manifestation of the Spirit materializes, this is what you get. You get Here I Am, Lord, and you get In the Spirit Intended. And like you were saying, this book, In the Spirit Intended, see, that's for the reader. That's for you on your journey, wherever you are in the spirit in which God is intended to touch you at that time that you read it in your life. Now, before we close the show, I just want to let our listeners know that In the Spirit Intended from your website says, this journey that I am undertaking as a Christian writer is a work in progress. With this release of my second book, I am continuing to be obedient to the Lord as much as possible. I will be the first to admit that I found myself on many an occasion wondering why this was happening to me. Not one moment of this journey, part of my plan, I had other ideas and goals that I felt would be important and would serve as my way of being a good servant. So God has ordered your steps, and when you avail yourself to him, he will surprise you and bless you in ways that you cannot even ascertain. Mr. Alan Black, thank you so very much for not only being a guest a sponsor, but for being an inspiration and for being someone that has encouraged us. Lord knows we are in a season where we as humanity needs more encouragement. So I want to thank you once again, and I will be looking forward to our continued connection and friendship. I want to make some other connections and introductions between you and some of my music friends that I think would make a lot of sense. One in particular who is a world-renowned lyricist, musician, and singer, and he falls in that vein of writing for the Lord as well. His name is Chris Jasper, and he wrote all of the music for the Isley Brothers, Jasper, Isley, Jasper
that
as well.
Remember Chris Jasper? He was awesome and is awesome.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, he's a friend, and I feel that that would be an awesome connection for you in the vein of what you're doing lyrically. And I want to thank you once again for being here on your book writing journey and for sponsoring A Book Is Born. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in. It has been a pleasure. Mr. Alan T. Black, you enjoy a blessed rest of your weekend as it gets underway on this Friday. We will be back here live on A Book Is Born June 12th. So please be sure to tune in then. Thank you once again, Alan, and have a blessed evening.
Thank you, Beverly. Everybody be blessed. Have a fantastic weekend and keep pressing on.
Amen. You as well. Thank you so much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this episode of A Book Is Born. You can catch the archives at tribefamilychannel.com. Follow our studio at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. And definitely, if you're interested in becoming a part of our anthologies, visit gumbofortheSoulInternational.com. Find out more about our calls for submissions for our second installment of both Men and Women of Honor. And we also have Suicide Is Not the Answer, and we have Called to Serve that was recently uploaded. So visit gumbofortheSoulInternational.com and become part of our anthology publications. This has been A Book Is Born, hence the song Happy Birthday by the Shy Lights and the last man standing, Marshall Thompson, my godfather. Be blessed. No stress. Have a blessed weekend.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you and you and you and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
Yeah.